Would you stand as we read three verses together? Acts, the 16th chapter. Starting at verse 16. It came to pass, as we went to prayer, notice that. As we went to prayer, how many times have we gone to preach and outboard, some outboard noise will be out here. And usually the babies will be perfect until you start to preach. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." I don't see anything wrong with that, do you? She had a good testimony. She really confessed the truth. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, small s, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. Father, bless this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It came to pass as we went to prayer that we were met with the spirit of the devil. Notice that. If any Bible-believing believer really begins to move for God, we'll always be met with satanic opposition. But notice, this was not the kind of opposition that you'd normally expect to meet us. The testimony of the girl was that these are the servants of the Most High God that show unto us the way of salvation. There wasn't a single unkind word that she said. What she said was truth. It wasn't a lie. And she followed him and she kept saying that. What's wrong with that? But there was something wrong with it, because it wasn't the Holy Spirit. Every true child of God should really take heed when we read a portion like this. There is a spirit which will come against everyone that tries to pray, that tries to witness, that tries to study the Word of God, that tries to build up the saint. And there's a spirit that will come against us. And what is that spirit? It's a driving spirit. It isn't necessarily a spirit of lying. It doesn't necessarily lie. It's a driving spirit. And I wonder tonight how many born-again believers are troubled with a driving spirit which does not come from Jesus Christ. God the Father draws in John 6:37, and the god of this world, Satan, drives. Driven. And we'll say several things about this driving spirit tonight. But I want you to notice this driving spirit was very clever. It made a good confession of the truth. Told the truth. And therefore it came in the as an angel of light. It said, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they show us the way of deliverance or salvation." But that girl was driven. listen carefully tonight. There are those that are driven into several areas of satanic response when this spirit comes to them. Driven to leave Bible college. Driven to leave because things aren't perfect. Driven to criticize about what they call the truth. But driven! And then the driven spirit conditions the human heart to accept a spirit of anxiety. Next comes a spirit of anxiety. An anxious spirit. You've got to do it now. Do it now. You're not doing it, so I'll do this. Driven, and then anxiety. And then that spirit conditions the human soul to enter into a quick decision. A quick decision based upon being driven. A quick decision which doesn't come from Christ. A driven spirit. And then it brings in anger. And it's progressive as it gets worse in its response to this angel of light who tells the truth and drives the subject into torment. And the subject becomes driven. And then Satan, because he's an angel of light, and because this spirit is clever, withdraws. And when the person leaves and goes into their new area of life, he withdraws. Why not? And then he lets them get interested again. And again he says, now it's time to drive them. They'll obey us. Drive them! And so they feel driven again in the truth. What they call the truth. And the Spirit drives them. And again they give over to anxiety. And again they give over to rationalization. And again to a quick decision. And they're driven again. And they spend a lifetime being driven. Driven to judge. Driven to give up a job. Driven to make a quick decision. Driven, 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 driven. The driving spirit will make you sick. You'll never be mature. You'll never understand revelation, because revelation can only be given to someone that abides in Christ. And if you don't abide, you'll never understand the revelation of the Word of God. You'll never be able to fellowship with the overall plan and scope of God in a given situation because you're not abiding in Christ for the revelation. In John 14:22-23, the Word of God says in the Greek it says, if you abide in me and let me live inside you, I'll manifest my Word to you right where you're living. This driving spirit says, never mind that. Drives you. It'll drive you to read the Word of God. You won't get anything out of it because you're doing it with a driven spirit. It'll drive you into prayer, and yet your prayer life will be empty because it's a driven spirit. It'll drive you to witness, witness, and witness. And I know a person that stops his car and gets people on the street, and he goes and tells them about Jesus. Now that seems good, and I'm not criticizing tonight, and I wouldn't tell his name for any amount of money, but he's driven to do that. I don't think it's God as much as I believe in witnessing. Driven. Get to do it. I've watched his countenance. I've seen him. I've been with him when he's parked the car. I watched his countenance. I stayed in the car. He got out. I saw him do it. I'm not criticizing tonight. I love him. But I am convinced that he's operating with a driven spirit. We've talked it over. How does Satan affect these kind of people? They're doing their job. They're working along. This spirit comes in cleverly, quickly. All of a sudden, they in spontaneous reaction to what the Satan feeds them at the tree of knowledge. They immediately act. They're driven, and then they move. They're filled with confusion, conflict, anger. They don't know where they're going or why, but they're driven. Satan, because he's trying to confuse them, will immediately have something good over here to confuse them in the conflict. So they'll find what Matthew 7, Jeremiah 5, and Jeremiah 6:14, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 calls a false peace. And then Satan will give them a false peace, not based upon reality, but based upon a superficial foundation that doesn't have Christ and the cross and the Word as its reality for discipleship. And they'll have a false peace, and they'll say, well, ever since I've been over here, I've had peace. That's a false peace. It's not based upon the cross. It's not based upon the death to Adam. It's based upon Adam being driven and then obeying the devil, and therefore the devil rewards him with human peace that doesn't have a divine origin. Young people driven to get married. All of a sudden they're doing great for God. Satan comes in and drives them. Tells them, you've got to get married. She's for you. Go to her. Driven, driven, driven. And they're driven. And then the anxiety comes in. Then they give themselves over to a quick decision and mental concept. And their minds completely are controlled by anxiety and frustration. And they want to get married now. They have a driven spirit. They're being driven to it instead of waiting for God. Marriage is beautiful, but it ought to come from Jesus and not from a spirit where you are driven. Have you ever seen anyone and compared him to Jesus Christ and a problem comes up? Compare the two. Somebody that gets angry, somebody that runs out of a room, somebody that's filled with resentment. They're being driven. Somebody else sits there because they're not insecure. They stand there in total peace. They commit it completely to God. And they completely and totally and absolutely let love cover it. They're not anxious at all. Why? They're living in eternity. They're not driven at all. Why? The Holy Spirit is the spirit of comfort. In John 14:26, a spirit of peace in Philippians 4:7. A spirit of wisdom and knowledge and sanctification and redemption in 1 Corinthians 1:30. This peace is wonderful and filled with love and power of a stabilizing quality in 2 Timothy 1:7. This is maturity. Maturity manifested at its ultimate. The peace of God. This type of individual is not driven. They can afford to wait for God because God is on the throne. Where it doesn't depend upon their humanity to straighten out the world or everyone else. They can trust in Jesus Christ and His sovereign love, in His supernatural grace, in His wonderful omnipotent power to get the job done as they trust Him and pray and obey Him also. They don't have to be driven. They don't have to take an issue in their own hands. They don't have to get angry because they're not insecure. If somebody hits them on the cheek, they can turn the other. Why not? Christ lives in them. They don't have to worry if they're asked to go 1 mile. They'll say, fine, I'll go too. In Matthew 5, 43 to 48, they are not living in insecurity. There's nothing about them that's being driven. They're sound, stable, spiritual, and they have all the confidence in the world in Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, our confidence is not in the flesh. But 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, our sufficiency is in Christ and not of we ourselves. They have an inexhaustible resources which make them absolutely mature. Quiet and confidence is their strength in Isaiah 30:15. They don't withdraw into an unstable, childish baby. They don't rely upon their past reflex action, their sound in mind. Christ is their mind. Jesus Christ is their heart and their attitude in 1 Corinthians 2:16. They know what it means to walk one step at a time by faith instead of responding to sight. They do not trust in empiricism because they're trusting in something far greater, a living, glorious, beautiful, precious, loving, kind, and gracious God. On the throne of their heart is God's omnipotent revelation of His own personality. And out of that hidden area of Jesus Christ comes God in them, revealing truth through knowledge for experience to respond to the trial by the grace of faith and revelation. How many understand it? God is looking for people, called out ones in Acts 15:13, that refuse to be driven. People that are stable. He only found 300 out of 32,000 in Judges, the 7th chapter. In fact, when he started out, there was something like 100,000. He only found 300 that he could trust to be spiritual. Very small percentage. Let me say this tonight without equivocation. If you don't let Jesus Christ stabilize you, you won't last at all in the tribulation. You'll be a spiritual reject and one of God's casualties in the battlefield of life. Why? Because we have an opportunity every single moment to live above, to be more than conquerors. Why do you think God did that to you in that room? He wants maturity, stabilization. He wants you to be sound and secure and confident. He wants you to be able to go before Him in prayer and be able to change things in prayer and see God move in every situation. He doesn't want you going to someone else and leaning on the flesh or having the flesh as a crutch or telling tales out of school when God brings the trials through sovereign providence in your daily experience. God does not want you to be a crybaby tonight. He wants you to be a soldier in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He wants you to be a disciple in Luke 14:33. God isn't looking for crybabies. He's not looking for those that have hot tempers, that go around and tell tales and exaggerate and rationalize and live in the flesh. He's looking for people that can trust in the living Christ, that can allow the Holy Spirit to lead them. In Romans 8:14, as grown up, mature, adult sons of God, known as weos and not technons, or mature adopted children instead of babies. God is looking for a people tonight that dare to believe that the Word is true, that dare to trust His judgment, that dare to trust His providence, that dare to trust that Christ allowed the trials and ordained them through the design of our need. He's looking for a people tonight that believe that all things work together for good and can have the divine patience to see it work out that way so they can be conformed to the image of Christ. He's not looking for people to withdraw from the battle. He needs soldiers that can go against the Midianites. He needs an army of faithful believers that will be loyal, that can join each other in the unity of union and the very power of His personality. He needs a group of people tonight that dare to be different, that dare to compliment one another instead of discredit, that dare to build up one another instead of tear down, that dare to go forward not understanding many of the facts of the battle, but will go forward because the battle is the Lord's. He needs a group of people tonight that can learn one thing, that God is mature. Therefore, if they're living inside Him, they can't be anything else. How many understand that tonight? Have you been driven lately? You just had to do it. Something inside you compelled you. And you, and as a crutch, you said, well, I just couldn't help it. That's a lie from the pit of hell tonight. You're saying that God is not enough. Instead of accepting that spirit tonight, renounce it. Rebuke it. Paul said, do you know you have that girl is being driven? And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, come out of her. That same hour, the spirit came out. And the folks that had her in business were dissatisfied and very disheartened. they'd lost a lot of profit. Some people are driven to be spiritual until they get what they want. After they get what they want, they show that it wasn't spirituality at all. Are you listening tonight? I'll repeat it because I'm talking to people that right here do that. They get very spiritual to get what they want. If they can't get it, they go back to what they're really like anyway. Kyle. In other words, I can be faithful if you'll give my flesh what it wants. I can be true to God if you'll pamper my flesh. Ever met him? Ever known anybody like that? Why, if my husband will change, everything will be all right. I could worship God. If my wife didn't do this and didn't do that, I'm sure that I'd be all right. She just sets me back. Well, if they do what they agreed and everything like that, I could be spiritual and go along fine. Why, if I didn't have the noise around me or didn't have this, I'd be all right. That's not true tonight. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You're just as carnal as the babies in 1 Corinthians 3. I preached a sermon 9 years ago entitled, I Have Met These Crybabies and Heard Them Cry. Have you met them? Was the name of the message. I've met these crybabies. They're carnal. They're childish. They're babyish. They live in animalistic natures. They live in correspondence to material gain or lustful desires. They're immature, and they never will obey God at the cross. They get angry. They're driven. They're resentful. They're bitter. They're inconsistent. They're unstable. And right at the cross, Christ is willing to take it all out through death, but they won't accept the verdict. They won't accept the verdict of death and burial and coming up in the union of resurrection, married to Jesus Christ, marriage to immutable love, marriage to divine grace, marriage to joy that can't change and doesn't vacillate regardless what happens. They refuse to be married to the one that has perfect patience. They refuse to receive the perfect patience that he's willing to impart free of charge. The only condition, union and reception and obedience and response. They refuse that tonight. They go on married to the flesh, obedient to the stimuli of negativism as it begins to take over and projects its human penetration through supernatural stimuli to their human soul. Refusing to give up the flesh through death, through the death of his cross, they go on being driven and then rationalizing with a false peace and periodic gains that are only really false failures because of satanic possession of their soul, or at least obsession or influence. But tonight, the Spirit of Christ says something different. Quietness and confidence is your strength. What a change. Not driven at all. Somebody puts it all over you, and you know they're doing it. But the battle is the Lord's in 1 Samuel 17:47. You can stand still in Exodus 14:13. He will fight for you in Exodus 14:14, and then when he says so, you move forward in Exodus 14:15. You can afford to be very still and know that he is God in Psalm 46:10. It's beautiful. Can't explain. It's just something quiet inside that says it's okay. You give thanks for it quietly and precious. Nobody can understand it really that isn't living in the same spirit. Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And you know that it's true. And that word means they that completely trust God instantly have their strength renewed. They're not driven. They have no battle to fight. They just experience a victory that's been won. They have no decision really to make except to respond to the will of God and the revelation of their will, which produces his decision through their humanity. It's not a matter of struggle. It's a matter of faith. It's not a matter of reaction. It's a matter of response. It's not a matter of law. It's a matter of grace. It's not a matter of legalism. It's a matter of love. It's not a matter of fear. It's a matter of faith. And it's not a matter tonight of can I do it. It's a matter that he can do it because he's already defeated my enemy and my foes. Don't allow Satan to drive you. Because the moment you do, you give a place to many other secret spirits. One, we already said it, now review it, anxiety. Two, frustration. Three, rationalization. Four, quick decision in the flesh. Five, bitterness. Six, resentment. Seven, judging with your tongue. Because of your own failure, you're going to judge what you think made you fail. Eight, a spirit of comparison. You begin to compare your life with others, and if it happens to be a little bit more righteous, you enter into number nine, pride. You see, once you open the door, and in Ephesians 4:27, give a place, in comes all these other spirits joining that one to become confusion. But by the grace of God, as we go to the cross, and with a definite act of faith, know that we're dead and buried. And I don't care how many times you've been driven or failed tonight, Jesus Christ is saying to you that quietness and confidence through confession and responding to His love will set you free. And He wants to be able to say to some demon tonight, I've set that person free indeed. For years they've been driven in one way or another. But now I'm going to draw them because they all allow me to. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes?